Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is hour two of our broadcast.
You guys shut up.
You didn't win the sports argument. The big push there by the Suns
was the third.
The end of the third quarter.
Yeah, because it was 100-71.
I thought they busted it open.
They didn't have 100 at half.
No, they did not.
That would have been...
I thought that was at the half where they went on the big run. But you were right. It was the end of
the third. The Blazers lost by 32 points last night. Worst loss of the season.
Well, at least they pulled guys to try to get a little rest because they got to go back-to-back tonight, and they got to go altitude.
Denver.
Yeah, so and that's a tough stretch. But everyone knew this three-game run here was going to be a challenge, and you just hope that they got a little something left in the tank.
All right, so the Tyler Shuck news.
Yes.
We discussed coming up, but Damian Lillard. So Sports Illustrated wrote a piece on Damian Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully. Promoting that he needs more love in the MVP department, which he is starting to get.
Yes.
By the way, his odds came down. Remember last week I told you they were at 2,200 on the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app. They're now plus 1,800.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Trending in the right direction.
Well,
everyone but Skip Bayless.
Oh God. I don't even care what he says. Why do you even bring that up? Who cares?
There are some national guys that love, like, the moment you get a guy like Lillard or Booker, Mitchell, anyone like this, you know, kind of one of the emerging stars in the league, although Lillard's, you know, significantly higher profile than one of those guys.
More like the small market stars, right?
There you go. Small market. The moment any one of them has a off night or they lose a game, like the national haters come out of the bushes like, I told you. Look at that. He had a poor shooting performance, was dominated by Phoenix. That's your MVP? Lillard has been a champ this year. And really, the guy's been amazing for years.
So this is by a guy by the name of Michael Pena. And he says, Damian Lillard deserves more respect in the MVP race. And he breaks it down. But just some stats real quick here on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
Searching. While you look for that, I did see something it's somewhat related. Just speaking of Blazers and injuries because of CJ, I saw someone had the other day that Roy Oden and Aldridge played in exactly 62 games together.
Yeah.
They were 50-12.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Dude, that group.
If they had, you know.
They were awesome.
You know, because there's a talk of, you know, can Lillard get it done here in Portland? And I don't know. I just saw that the other day and it's been rattling around in my head.
Oh, yeah. That's a long-sided stat that when they were healthy, 50, it wasn't often.
No.
But they only lost 12 times.
50-12.
So from this Sports Illustrated article, it says, right now the elements of a valid MVP claim, of course he's talking about Lillard, are vibrating. Lillard's team is winning, his numbers are ludicrous, his best teammates are hurt, and the Blazers skydive with no parachute when he's on the bench. He is second in offensive real plus minus. He is sixth in real plus minus wins and first or second in every offensive Raptor measurement.
Wait.
That's a metric.
Okay.
Don't even ask.
I was going to ask what exactly. I mean, it's kind of badass because you got Raptor, but... I didn't know what that meant.
Producing on a level that's almost universally aligned with what he did last year as arguably the game's most potent threat in almost two fewer minutes per game. And since CJ McCollum, who was playing the best basketball of his career, joined Yusuf Nurkic and Zach Collins on the sideline about 5 weeks ago, Portland's franchise point guard has only elevated his play. The Blazers are 10-7 since with the NBA's fourth best offense, Damian Lillard averaging 31.6 points, 8.1 assists per game. He makes 38% of his threes and 93% of his free throws. No player has averaged more seconds or dribbles per touch, and only Trae Young leads Lillard in time of possession. Okay, so it's all running through him.
They're going down with the burden he carries is greater than anyone else's.
The load is humongous, routinely against defenses that spend every possession locked into whatever pick and roll coverage they feel can best muffle his pull up three. All strategy is futile. The assist totals from four of his last five games, 12, 16, 10, and 11, reflect how fast he reacts to increasingly aggressive schemes. Players listed at 6'2 aren't supposed to see passes like this one. And of course, he goes on to highlights. And then down below, he talks about how Lillard is doing things we have never seen. He also talked about something we talked about here the other day, and I'm glad he pointed it out. The way Damian Lillard splits that trap, the way he is doing that this year is just so much better than he has done in the past. And he's always done a pretty good job of it.
Sure.
Over the last two or three years, he's got a lot better at it. This year, it's just otherworldly
That New Orleans series, he's become a different player. But you're right, he continues to take it to another level. And that's the thing is, you saw this at the end of the, what was the game where he didn't have the pull-up three, he drove and got the and one to finish it out? It was just the other game. Who was that against?
I don't remember, but you know, he had the
Thunder.
Was that against the Thunder?
I don't know, fella.
Yeah, the text police will help us out. But you're right in that, you know, obviously he gets so much, you know, so much love for his ability to shoot from the deep. But, dude, the guy can get to the cup whenever he wants. He's so explosive. And he's much better at finishing than early in his career when sometimes he would go in there and kind of get lost and disappear in the trees.
But he makes the right play so much of the time, whether it be a long pass like Michael is pointing out here. And a lot of times it's guys way on the other side of the court, you know, or he sees that just that little bit of room to squeeze in and get a layup. He's just so damn sensational. Now, there are stats that Michael Pena is saying we have never seen before that Damian Lillard's putting up.
And those are?
Next.
Nice. That's why you're a pro. Yeah.
On the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we'll keep you posted on any Tiger Woods news.
There is a new report, the latest about his injuries. This is from the L.A. Sheriff. I just saw this.
If you're just tuning in, he was in a car accident.
So the injuries, he shattered an ankle.
Ooh.
Two leg fractures, one of which was a compound fracture.
Damn.
And this, according to a source familiar with the treatment, and the source, quote, said, "Lucky to be alive," the L.A. County Sheriff says.
Single car, just him. He was driving, rollover. In LA, 7:15 this morning, and that's the latest.
Now I'm sure this.
Thank
was,
you for that.
I didn't see that, and I'm sure this was leaked by the Genesis people. He was in a courtesy car, from the Genesis Open, so it's their brand new SUV.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that someone is leaking this, but if you look at the photo, the interior of the car is in good shape, and then the engine is out, and they are saying that is design. They say it's like one of the safest SUVs on the road. That when you roll, the engine is designed to leave the car so that it does not, it doesn't crush anyone, and then the inside turns into a big pillow.
How about that?
The Genesis people are like, hey, just let's get this out that this could have been a lot worse.
It's a life-saving automobile.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So I guess the engine is designed, according to this, the engine is designed to, you know, take a hike, and so you don't, you know, it doesn't come back on the driver.
Well, he's lucky to be alive.
Yes, that is. This was a very, very serious accident at high speeds.
All right, back to the Sports Illustrated article. It is by Michael Pena, P-I-N-A, Pena. And he's talking about Damian Lillard's MVP candidacy. And he says, for the entire season, Damian Lillard has statistically meant more to his team's offense than any other player on their own. When he plays, the Blazers have the best offense in the league and are more effective than the greatest attack in NBA history. When he sits, they score, whispers prayer, 18.4 fewer points per 100 possessions.
Yikes.
He said the impact here is about equal to what Curry had during his first season as Durant's teammate, a.k.a. it is historically impressive. Even more incredible is the fact that when Lillard rests, Portland leans hard into groups that are ostensibly all about offense. Now, sure. We don't need to go into all this.
No,
we watched that.
There is no well, look, defense is sparse to begin with, but when Lillard leaves the floor, we know that Gary and Melo and Cantor, there's no passing going on.
Yeah, so basically what he's saying, for the purpose of this conversation, says the magnitude of his force when Portland has the ball outweighs any drawbacks on the other end. When Lillard's MVP case really congeals is also where he separates himself from the pack, crunch time. He taps his wrist, nods his head, and impels thousands of fans to weep. Ask the Bulls, Mavericks, or Pelicans. By the way, that play you were talking about was Pels.
Yeah, on Lonzo Ball, where he drove past him and got the N1.
The Blazers are 12-4 in games where the score is within 5 points in the last 5 minutes, almost entirely because of him. Lillard's true shooting percentage in these situations is, care to guess?
No idea.
82.7%. To really capture how ridiculous this is, consider LeBron James has been superb in the clutch this year, shooting 49.2% from the field and 39.3% from deep. LeBron has 74 points in 78 minutes, and the Lakers are plus 52 when he's on the court. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Then you look at Lillard, who's shooting 61.5% from the floor, 58.8% from deep, and is an icy 24 from 24 from the charity stripe.
He's shooting 59% from the three-point line in the final 5 minutes of these close games?
Yes.
God.
Also, in 59 minutes, he has 82 points.
Wow.
Put this another way, Lillard has scored 8 more crunch time points than LeBron while taking 22 fewer shots.
And LeBron, up until these last 3 games, was widely considered to be the front runner for MVP.
Exactly. So, I mean,
there's your case.
This is a great case. Yeah. I mean, like, people need to pay attention to it. Now, we're only halfway home, but Jesus.
And as great as Lillard's been, people have correctly pointed out, we've seen him go on stretches that are even more seemingly, although, boy, those numbers are pretty impressive. We've seen him go, like, to a different level for the stretches of games, and I don't know if we've seen the otherworldly Dame. He's just been consistently this good all year, especially since CJ went down.
Well, otherworldly Dame, I think what you mean is like the 55-point scorcher.
Yeah.
But he's just so much more dangerous now because he's doing everything. Like his assist numbers, like he was saying, are through the roof in the last handful of games. Like it's not just, he doesn't just need to just shoot lights out. He's doing everything.
Yeah.
He's finding the open man. He's getting to the rim. He's hitting his free throws. He's knocking down the threes when they're there. You basically can't stop him, and he's making everybody else around him better, not just saying, hey, it's me and everyone else. I think that's the difference. That's why he's so good, is this team doesn't have a whole hell of a lot right now, but he makes them look so much better than they are. That's him.
Yep, and you get just, the open looks. You know, Gary Trent is going to make a lot of money, and look, Gary deserves it, but make no mistake about it that the career resurgence that Melo has had and Gary Trent, and look, a lot of that goes to having the letter O on the floor. And it's kind of cool because, you know, we've been saying this for 3 or 4 years, you know, the debate of if you add one guy at the end of the game, it's not really much of a debate anymore. It's just at the end of the game, there's no one in the NBA that you want to have the ball more so than Damian Lillard. And that's saying something, because there's some great players in this league, from LeBron to Durant to Steph Curry. You have the ultimate closer.
He's just got it.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that.
He's got a little Kobe, you know, whatever they call that, the Mamba mentality sort of thing.
He can just master
it. He has that. He rises above it.
So one other thing, he's recorded at least 30 points, 10 assists, and 5 threes in each of his last 4 games. Now, I think this was before the Phoenix game, but that ties himself for the longest streak in NBA history. 30 points, 10 assists, and at least 5 threes in each of his last 4 games. No other player had recorded such a streak longer than twice. I mean, what he's doing is special. Well, it's not just special, it's unprecedented.
Yeah.
And he's torching LeBron at his own game, which is just amazing. So I'm glad Michael put that out there. That's on sportsillustrated.com if you want to go read the whole thing. And he puts up some you know, some plays and some video evidence and stuff. But it was a good case for why Damian Lillard does deserve way more love in the MVP race. Although I will say, we were talking last week about, or maybe it was Monday, about the the NBA.com MVP ladder.
Yeah.
Where they rank each week the guys in their MVP candidacy. Lillard, it was last week, because last week Lillard only cracked the top 10. He was like eighth. He is now third on the Kia NBA.com.
Again, he's
MVP ladder.
Forcing people to. And so who's one and two?
I knew you were going to ask that.
I'm assuming LeBron and Embiid, maybe.
Timeout, please.
Well, look, we've seen this before where if you look over the MVPs, they're not all created equally, correct? I mean, we obviously you're an MVP and there are certain years where seemingly it kind of opens itself up. And I do feel like if he continues to do this at this level and carries the team into a top four or three seed, this may be one of those years where he could jump up and
I agree.
He could jump up and grab it.
That's why I bet it. I think there is a chance that he wins it the way he's playing. He's MVP level good. You would think by the time he retires, he could win one. And it is kind of shaping up that this could be one of those years. It's still a long way to go.
Sure.
On the ladder, LeBron is number one. Joel Embiid is number two, and Lillard is now number three.
Yeah.
Steph Curry, they moved to four, and Jokic is five.
Yeah. So, like I said, there's going to be no – it's not like there is a runaway or maybe like, this guy has earned it, right? And we've shorted him.
Not yet. But remember, I just bring up the NFL season. Remember when we were talking about Russell Wilson was the guy. Well, Russell Wilson wasn't even close at the end. It was obviously either Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers. We weren't even talking about those guys earlier in the season. So, you never know. But, hell, KD could come back and just – lead the Nets to nothing but wins and win it going away.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's going to be hard for Lillard to win it, but at the same time, yes, you can. This is the first year where you can kind of see a path developing.
Maybe a window there for him.
All right, in the news is coming up next. Here's Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Pleased to have you along. Coming up, Tyler Shuck is headed to Texas Tech. The latest on Tiger Woods injuries.
Don't worry, just go to the Golf Channel. They're going to run this for 72 straight hours.
Yeah, they haven't changed the headline sat down.
They have not. There will be no golf today on the Golf Channel. Just a lot of people staring at the emergency room in Los Angeles.
We have the All-Star Reserves for the NBA, Lillard making it. So plenty to discuss. There was also a J.J. Watt. There was a bit on social media about him today, which I want to get to. But right now, you know what time it is, kids.
Oh, I know.
It is February 23rd, 2021. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Now, today is National Banana Bread Day.
Oh, I do love me a good hunk of banana bread.
You know, I do too, and I haven't had it for so long.
My kids make it for me, and it's kind of dangerous, though. I do not have banana bread. Or just, can I just say loaf in general control? I can't stop.
Do you put butter on it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The key to good banana bread is either you get it right out of the oven or microwave it and go with a tab of butter on it. It's the only way to do it.
Mm.
And then a glass of ice cold milk.
Mm.
I cannot stop. It is a real issue. Like, I'll get to like half of a loaf and I'm like, really? I just consumed 8 million fat calories. I should probably stop. And yet I keep coming back and cutting small slices.
It is also Play Tennis Day.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
I love tennis.
No, this is fantastic.
I won't.
Great game.
I think my back and my knees at this point have evolved beyond the point of tennis. Just seems like a lot of twisting and bending.
I can't see you playing tennis.
Me and Will Darkins became tennis partners before the winter started.
Nice.
We played once a weekend.
More of a racquetball man myself.
You like the violence in there?
I have great news for you guys today.
Does it involve racquetball?
No.
Damn it.
For the first time in a year, Providence, Portland has zero COVID patients in critical care.
Oh. In critical care. I saw several hospitals around the country were posting these things saying that it was the first time since, you know, the start of this that they are COVID free.
Yeah.
They didn't have a single patient.
Yeah.
So we're not quite there, but we're critical care patients.
Here are the numbers. You want the numbers? This is the whole state of Oregon.
Okay.
I don't have the Washington numbers, but I do have the Oregon numbers. We are down to 167 COVID hospitalizations.
Kick ass, baby.
In the entire state.
Yes.
Now, that's not to celebrate the 167 who are in the hospital with COVID.
Yeah.
That is just a very low number comparatively. We only have 47 in the ICU, and we have 21 on ventilators in the whole state.
Well, look, I've been saying this throughout the whole pandemic. Why can't two things be true at the same time? Why can't we mourn the loss of 500,000 Americans and admit that this was a horrible, awful scourge that was a year plus? But why can't we celebrate that we're on the back end of this thing and start to get back to normal life? They're not exclusive to one another. I think
I've seen a lot of people doing both.
Yes, yeah. And you should do it. It's like this whole thing about like, well, we're getting shamed. No, it's been a long time. People should start getting back to normal because the numbers are getting good across the board.
My mom just had her second vaccination shot today.
Nice.
My dad gets his second one on Saturday.
And so your dad had the COVID.
My dad did have the COVID.
And your mom did not have the COVID.
No, she did not.
And now the Gare Bear is invincible and can do whatever he wants. He's beyond death.
Which is very nice because I would like to go back for Passover this year because I've missed the last multiple holidays.
Yeah.
And my mom and my dad and my aunt and my uncle are all going to be fully vaccinated by then, which makes me feel very good.
Hey, that's great.
Yes.
Congratulations, Mike.
Thanks.
Great.
When do we get to phase 1C here in Oregon? You said they're going to release that the 28th.
1C? Wait,
what's 1C, huh?
Didn't you announce this in the news a couple of days ago?
Hold on, I need to.
Yeah,
what is 1C?
That won't include you.
Well, I'm just curious what it is.
That's going to be younger than 70. I think right now they're at 70 years old. They're going by five-year increments with the olds.
Mike, it's going to be like sometime in the next, 6 years, all right? Just buckle up, all right?
Wait till April. I mean, it's going to be wild for guys like you and I. We're peasants.
Yeah.
But if we have pre-existing conditions, maybe, right?
Yeah, there's that.
Because you've got high blood pressure, right?
I don't.
No.
At all.
You have high cholesterol.
I do. I used to. It's under control now, but.
Because technically, I'm obese.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
What? I think you're sexy.
I am sexy, thank you. But technically, I'm obese.
Oh. Mike's part of the new.
Well, use that.
The big and beautiful movement. He's
Suk is probably also obese by BMI.
Embrace it. Yeah.
Oh, Rob, you might even by BMI obese? Be close to.
What
it.
Is the definition of obese?
It's just the number of the body mass index compared to what you as at your height should be.
Oh yeah, I'm like 255. I guarantee I'm like.
So if they
50
count
pounds.
Obesity as something that is a pre-existing condition,
see.
Then we could get it.
Maybe, but I'm not a guy that's going to jump through a lot of hoops to get this. I'm just going to wait my turn.
And well, that's me too.
I'm not too worried about it. My wife is fully vaccinated now, so we are venturing out on the town on Saturday night to dinner.
There you go.
How about that?
I'm that way
it's
too.
The first time in a year.
I don't want it, but again, I don't. There's people that need it way, way sooner than me.
Exactly.
I just want to get it so that I can.
Now, if you got one for everybody in the country, I'll get my place in line. But right now, we don't have that. So, Get the olds taken care of here.
I'm right at the threshold. I'm just overweight. I'm just under the obese.
Gain some weight back, Suk, then you can get the vaccine.
I got to get on like 5 pounds and then vaccine it.
It's banana bread.
Yeah, overweight is 29.9 and I am 29.8. Razor Woo! Thin.
Hey, some more good news.
Congrats on that, by the way. That probably feels good. When's the last time you were not obese on the BMI? Because I know for me, it's been for years and years and years and years.
Like fifth grade, maybe? I don't know.
Only five Oregon counties remain in Oregon's extreme risk level for COVID-19.
What counties? Okay.
All right.
Do we know, like,
are
they the big ones?
Like, only five.
Okay. Assuming the major ones?
16 counties improved their risk levels, including two in the Portland metro area. Clackamas and Washington counties have moved from high risk down to moderate risk.
Hey, look at us.
Hooray!
Which allows more people at indoor businesses such as restaurants and gyms.
Kick ass!
Isn't that great? Multnomah County remains at high risk.
It is nice, though, like, being able to eat indoors. My son went bowling today.
Hey.
It threw me off. He was getting dressed. I was like, where the hell are you going? Because I'm going bowling. I'm like, what?
I sat down indoors at a restaurant on Sunday, and it was fantastic.
Yeah,
Don't you miss that?
I missed it so much.
Man, it's such a great feeling.
Yes. I know it's not like the end of the world. I just want to belly up and get a bowl of a bar mix. Give me a spicy bar mix. I want to go out to like Grains of Wrath and get myself a quality cold lager and a bowl of spicy bar mix and just plant my ass down. It's what I want. That and live music.
I want to be able to not have to think about things when I want to go do something. Oh, are they open? Oh, what's the restrictions? I just want to say, hey, you want to go do this? Yes. That's what I want.
We're on the right path, man. There is light at the end of the tunnel.
The five counties that are still in the extreme risk category are Benton, Coos, Douglas, Jefferson, and Josephine. High risk, which is where Multnomah is, also Deschutes, Jackson, Klamath, Umatilla, Yamhill. But Clackamas, Hood River, Lynn, Washington all move down to moderate risk, which is yellow, which is just like, you know what, COVID sort of thing, but... Get out there and...
We're doing okay.
Get out there and party.
I don't think you're supposed to party.
Oh. Well, get out there and...
I don't know if we're at...
social distance party.
There you go. I don't think we've reached the level of party yet, but...
kind of cool.
We're getting there.
All right. Up next, fellas. Okay. I teased this yesterday. What's up with everybody leaving downtown Portland?
What's up with you, girl?
Is that a bad thing? Is that really happening? Is everybody flocking out of downtown? I mean, how bad is it?
Feels like it, but...
It does feel like it. Willamette Week took a look at that and compared it to other cities, and we'll have that for you next on The Fan.
With Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Is it awkward? Well, I guess awkward isn't the word, but... The way that woman in that ad says, sleepies... bothers me.
Does it?
Yeah. I don't like it.
Okay.
Anybody else noticed?
I can't say that I paid attention. My current one that I can't say I want to punch her because she's like 12 is the Denny Hamlin PJ commercial.
Hey, Hamlin. Yeah. I like your PJs.
Yeah, Rob brought that up when we talked about commercials. We wanted to rip our eyeballs out when they came on. Yeah. That was one he mentioned.
I would like another 12-year-old girl to punch that girl in the face. I think that's more appropriate.
Willamette Week has studied the exodus from downtown Portland. They posted a thing about, you know, just different charts and measurements compared to other cities about what's happening in downtown Portland.
Sure.
Some of it's about parking, which I'm going to gloss over. But scrolling down, they're talking about commercial spaces. You know, we're hearing that businesses are flocking out of downtown Portland. And that is true. I mean, they are leaving. There is no doubt about it. They are down in terms of, well, commercial space being available is up. Yeah. So,
whoever, by the way, bought stock in plywood, you're living the dream right now.
Totally.
Is there a company?
Plywood's costing a lot of money right now.
Is there a company that does that? Like, they're just someone like that's their whole thing is they board up windows.
I was talking to somebody the other day.
I want to invest in them.
Somebody the other day was talking about building a garage or something.
Yeah.
Somebody I was golfing with was saying, you know, I was just going to plywood the thing, you know, and...
You can't get it now?
He's like, oh my God, you should see how expensive it is.
Yeah.
Because of all this.
Yeah. I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah. He didn't want to do the drywall thing, but... Yeah,
years ago, someone invested in big plywood and is like, one of these days, it's going to pay off. Now's their time.
Maybe it's all a ruse by big plywood. All of this has been...
The puppet masters,
ploy.
Big plywood, they're behind it all.
So commercial realtors say the key measure of a city's strength is something called net absorption, an industry term that measures whether office space is filling up or emptying out. By that measure, Portland is minus 1.8.
Okay. I have no idea what that means.
Well, it doesn't matter the number.
Okay.
All that matters is businesses are leaving the commercial spaces.
Sure.
However, they are not doing it at the rate of Los Angeles, Denver, Boston, Seattle, New York, and certainly not at the rate of San Francisco. Portland is at minus 1.8, LA minus 2.3, Denver minus 2.9, New York minus 4.5, San Francisco minus 7.8.
Well, let me just say this. Suck at those other cities.
So the exodus... In downtown Portland is not as bad as other cities. Because it does feel like it's just like mass exodus here.
Well, we kind of became the poster child for, you know, chaos there for a while. So I think it's, plus Portland's got the rep to go along with it. We're probably an easy punching bag. That makes sense. And look, those numbers certainly aren't good. No one's going to be like, downtown's doing great. But it is nice to know that, you know, while it may be crappy down there, it's crappy a lot of places.
Well, the other thing that they point out here with another chart is open restaurant reservations.
Yeah.
And Portland has taken COVID way more seriously than obviously a lot of other cities.
Yes.
And we are very dependent on the restaurant industry here. So one of the reasons downtown Portland feels so deserted is people have been taking COVID seriously, restaurant, you know, restrictions and stuff, and people just haven't been going. So that's more so than a lot of these other cities where they are like, they're like, COVID, yeah, whatever. Yeah. I'll take the 8:30 reservation, please. Yeah.
And so maybe when this finally ends, maybe we bounce back a little bit faster.
Yeah, perhaps.
I would hope.
Perhaps.
I would just like some of the ply boards to come down, the poo to get cleaned up, and you know, maybe a fresh coat of paint, maybe some trash.
The other thing that is positive is, now this isn't just downtown, but Portland remains a popular city for in-migration.
Okay. People moving here.
People are still moving here. Based on analysis by United Van Lines of about 125 metropolitan areas, Portland is 18th as a moving destination. This was for the year 2020. That is down from 9th and just behind cities such as Charlotte and Phoenix, but still ahead of regional magnets such as Denver and Salt Lake City. Meanwhile, Oregon as a whole remained the third most popular state to move to, trailing only... Now, this will surprise you.
Austin, maybe? Somewhere?
No, states.
Oh, states.
Austin is not a state.
Texas.
No. This is going to surprise you, but think about it.
Because I've heard a lot of people from California are moving to Texas.
Yeah, I've heard that too. But they're also moving to another state.
Florida?
No, think about it.
Think about it.
They want out from under the thumb of the libs.
Yeah, so that's why I was thinking, so you go in like Georgia?
Idaho.
Ah,
a lot of people are moving to Idaho, yes, man. Yes. Anything goes in Idaho.
Dude, right in the middle of this thing, I had a friend of mine that went up there for one of the holidays, and he goes, you would have no idea that COVID was even a thing.
A thing, right.
Idaho gets, they're kind of a sleeper, but Idaho definitely takes that southern mentality of, eh.
Well, it has its advantages.
Yes.
Depending
on what side of the spectrum you fall on.
The other state that ranks ahead of Oregon in terms of third most popular state to move to is South Carolina.
Okay. I've never been to South Carolina, but I've heard wonderful things that is like one of the best kept like vacation secrets in our country is South Carolina. I've been to North. Can't say I've been to South.
Well, you got
South.
A lot of
you got Myrtle
beaches
Beach
and golf courses. And
yeah. Heard it's
never been either.
Heard it's wonderful.
Demand for downtown apartments has dropped off. Average rent for a one-bedroom apartment has remained flat over the course of the pandemic across the Portland metro area. In the suburbs, rents have actually increased, but in Portland, average rents are dropping. This is the central city of Portland. Perhaps we're seeing the first effects of a construction boom that started 4 years ago, but here's another theory. People are still moving to Portland from out of state, but they'd rather not live too close to tear gas.
That makes sense. You know, that beautiful condo you have with the views of the river, you can't see through the plywood.
It's kinda, right.
You know, you have to subtract a little bit for that. Hey, this place has wonderful views of the wood.
And they also do this deal where some of it is like low-income housing, which is great in theory. But oftentimes what happens outside of those buildings, like we have one right here next to us, is Thunderdome.
Yes.
I mean, we have ambulances and fire trucks there all the time. There's poop all over the sidewalks. It just seems like, and people are just, they just don't want to live by that.
Yeah.
They're just like, I'm going to move to downtown Vancouver where it's worse.
Yeah. I don't think downtown Vancouver is worse. Although it is, it's
got its issues too.
It certainly has crept over. Absolutely. But yeah, we've talked about it.
Anyway, that's a fair look. I think a very fair look at what's happening in downtown Portland. It's not great.
Yeah.
But this is a problem in a lot of cities, that was from the Willamette Week.
People want to live on the West Coast, and we have talked about this multiple times. If you want to live in a city or in the suburbs of the West Coast, you can't move to Vancouver, BC. You can't move to Seattle.
Too
expensive.
Can't
move to LA. You can't move to San Diego. You
San
sure
Francisco.
As hell can't move to the Bay Area. You basically are left with Sacramento and Portland. And by the way, neither one of those are very affordable, but when you consider the prices of those other places around it, dude, you could light downtown on fire, and well, we kind of did for a while. But you could, like, you could have a tire fire in the middle of the city, and people would still move here because people want to be on the West Coast, and there just isn't anything affordable to move to.
All right, there is your In the News, February 23, 2021. We've got the Hot 5 at 5 next. If you're just turning on your radio, Tiger Woods, big Tiger Woods news today. We'll have all the very latest coming up next on The Fan.